From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 17th. I'm Abby Larico. Peat bogs are a type of wetland found in Missouri and Illinois that absorb a lot of the Earth's carbon dioxide. But these natural air purifiers are at risk.
We really can't replicate peat bogs. They take thousands of years to form. So once they're gone, they're gone.
How scientists are working to better understand bogs and educate the public, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Thousands of people in Missouri are still without power, and hundreds are working to repair damage and clean up debris from tornadoes that came through the region Friday night. The National Weather Service has confirmed tornadoes in Rolla, Jefferson County, Villa Ridge, and south of Union in Franklin County. They caused extensive damage to schools, homes, and businesses. Holly Esposito's home in Rolla is near the center of the worst damage in the city.
It was very scary. And it's just material things at the end of the day. I was prepared to meet Jesus, and I didn't. So I'm okay with that.
Rolla Public Schools has canceled classes for the entire week as it works to repair damage at some schools and restore internet and power at others. Bill Greer is the incident commander for the Salvation Army's response in Rolla. He says this week we'll see the focus shift from response to recovery.
And so for every family that has incurred either a total loss or major damage to their home, we're going to be able to work with them to get them some financial help. And so we're already beginning to think about that as well.
The Red Cross is operating shelters in St. Louis, Phelps, Jefferson, and Franklin counties. The Missouri State Highway Patrol has confirmed 12 deaths across the state due to the storms. Half of those were in Wayne County, which is about 130 miles south of St. Louis. St. Louis's longest-serving sheriff and local soccer star Jim Murphy has died. Murphy played for the St. Louis Cudas, an amateur soccer team that dominated in the mid-1950s. His success with the team led him to be inducted into the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame in 1989. Murphy followed his soccer notoriety with a life of public service. He was first elected to the Missouri Senate in 1976. Murphy served as sheriff from 1989 until 2016 when he retired. St. Louis Collector of Revenue Gregory F.X. Daly says Murphy was always willing to help St. Louisans when they had a problem.
He was a good man, he was a good politician, and he was good for the city of St. Louis.
Murphy was 88 years old. One of South St. Louis's most prominent vacant buildings is closer than ever to getting revitalized. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the Melba Theater along South Grand is part of the roughly $26 million Marquette Homes project.
The project by Rise Community Development and Lutheran Development Group is a mix of six historic rehabs and three new construction buildings in the Gravois Park and Dutchtown neighborhoods. The Melba Theater is one rehab and will be transformed into 16 affordable housing units and office space for local nonprofits. Mark Stroker is with Rise Community Development.
As we've been in and out of this building while we've been trying to get this deal closed, we've had people stop us out on the street and say, I can't wait to see this get done. They're very excited about it. And I'm talking about neighbors, people that live right across the street.
The city approved the Marquette Homes project in 2023, but Stroker says its start has been stalled because of the many funding sources needed. He says construction begins after the real estate deal closes, likely within 30 days. I'm Eric Schmidt, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new Pew Research report shows that 62% of adults in the St. Louis area identify as Christians. That's down from 75% a decade ago. As STLPR's Andrea Henderson reports, local faith leaders say technology and politics play a major role in the religious shift.
The Religious Landscape Study examines all Christian faith groups, including historically Black Christian traditions, which have decreased from 10% in 2014 to 5% today. Aaron Letcher is the pastor of Pleasant Green Baptist Church in North St. Louis. He says Black churches must become more politically and socially engaged to attract members.
People now, they are shifting away from church just to be having church. They want to be identified with a faith that addresses social issues.
The survey also shows that 50% of adults seldom or never attend religious services, up from 31% in 2014. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Breastfeeding is more of a challenge for first-time mothers in rural Missouri compared to those in urban and suburban areas. A new University of Missouri study finds those mothers are more likely to stop breastfeeding after a few weeks because of a lack of access to basic breastfeeding information and a fear that their babies aren't getting enough milk. Carrie Weston is a postdoctoral fellow at MU's Sinclair School of Nursing and is the study's author. She says it's important to set up mothers for success before they're discharged from the hospital.
We know that these mothers are going back out into communities with sparse resources. So if we have a game plan of this is who you're going to call, this is where you're going to go, really making sure these mothers know and have a plan.
Weston says support from family and friends and regular home visits from lactation-certified nurses can make a huge difference. A new program will soon give students in Alton a chance to study the science behind soccer. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
About 30 Alton Middle School students will learn how to apply physics to sports by getting on-field soccer instruction and working with robotics. Damian Jones is founder of Student Athletes Leading Tomorrow, or SALT. That's the nonprofit behind the program. Jones says SALT runs sports and wellness programs for children whose families may be priced out of other options.
Youth sports has been somewhat privatized and commoditized, and that dynamic, while oftentimes producing the best coaches, the best facilities, also has created a chasm between the haves and have-nots.
The seven-week program starts Wednesday. Organizers hope to expand to other schools. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Part of the solution to climate change is sequestering carbon, and so billions of dollars are being spent on carbon capture technology. But the Earth already has many natural sequestration processes, and scientists are exploring how those can be part of the solution. Jess Savage of the Ag and Water Desk and Harvest Public Media reports that includes peat bogs, which can be found in the Missouri Ozarks as well as central and northern Illinois.
It's Winterfest at Bolo Bog Natural Area in northern Illinois. Just outside the warm barn filled with the sounds of live music, naturalist and educator Mary Caldwell is guiding brave souls on a frozen nature walk. She crouches down and reaches out towards one of the featured species on this tour, sphagnum moss.
I invite you to just touch some of the sphagnum.
Okay.
Just real gently because it's kind of frozen-ish.
It's wet and cold and feels almost like running your fingers over a fluffy rug.
Okay, so you get an idea of it, but then in warmer weather, this is so soft. It's unreal.
Bog ecosystems are some of the most efficient carbon storage ecosystems in the world. They cover just 3% of the Earth's surface, yet hold up to 30% of global carbon. The bog's keystone species, sphagnum moss, plays a key role in its storage capacity. Sphagnum acts like a sponge. It holds up to 20 times its weight in water.
Sphagnum moss itself is incredible. It's very slow growing. Takes its time.
But bog ecosystems have been disappearing for decades. In Illinois alone, more than 90% of historic wetlands have been lost. There's about 110 million acres in the U.S., more than half are in Alaska, but nearly 70% have been drained and developed over the past 100 years. Wetlands provide habitat, filter water, and store carbon.
They're like no other ecosystem on Earth.
Dr. Tricia Atwood is an associate professor and ecosystem ecologist at Utah State University.
When we think about a forest or how much carbon is being stored in a forest system, wetlands can store carbon about 30 to 50 times faster at a higher rate than those other systems.
Sphagnum moss holds lessons. Scientists know it's a key to sequestration, but there's a lot they don't know. Sona Pandey is the principal researcher at the Danforth Plant Science Center outside of St. Louis.
The first time I saw a peat moss under the microscope, I just literally fell in love with it. It's beautiful to look at.
Moss excels at storing carbon. It thrives in waterlogged, acidic conditions. It doesn't decompose, acting almost like a giant mat of living carbon. But when they're threatened, that carbon has to go somewhere.
It is a possibility that all the carbon which is stored in peat bogs at the moment will be released to the atmosphere.
Pandey's research team is growing moss in a lab, studying its DNA, and trying to figure out how it is threatened by climate change, and also how it could be a solution. She says if we understand these mosses on a microscopic level, we can better protect and restore them on a larger scale.
We make very informed decisions about which species to introduce or which type of restoration efforts are needed.
Ecologist Atwood says bogs have been historically passed over, but they're getting a little more respect.
There has been substantial changes in people's perception of these wetlands, just because they don't typically hit people's top 10 most beautiful places. Governments are starting to realize that they have these other benefits.
But a 2023 Supreme Court ruling imperiled even more wetlands. Rebecca Hammer is an attorney at the Natural Resources Defense Council, an advocacy group. Hammer says that the Sackett versus the Environmental Protection Agency decision, which rolled back wetlands protections, hits bogs the hardest.
Unlike some other types of ecosystems that we can, you know, artificially restore or create man-made versions of them, we really can't replicate peat bogs. They take thousands of years to form. So once they're gone, they're gone.
It can be easy to think of ecological issues and solutions as far from home. But Volo Educators Caldwell says that they're often closer than we think.
So when we think about the natural world around us, sometimes we look at it like we're standing outside this big circle or this big web of life. But oh no, we are right in the middle of it all.
In Volo Bog, Illinois, I'm Jess Savage.
That story comes to us from Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.